going to be in the book of Philippians today, chapter 3, Philippians 3, verses 12 to 16. These are challenging times for parents, for school systems, for business owners, for so many people, hospital staff. It's just a challenging time. Many of you are aware, we had a couple of our kids go off to UNC, and UNC this week basically closed their dorms to the undergraduates. And so one of them had to come home. One is staying right now in the Raleigh area. I just also heard this week, a couple days later, NC State also decided that they were sending home their undergraduates out of the dorms. And I just learned a while ago, East Carolina has made the same decision. So change is already after they tried to start. School systems, all teachers that I've talked to have talked about how wonderful and exciting this has been, how easy it's going. it has been very difficult on them. The parents are at their last nerve, teachers are at their last nerve, administration's on his last nerve. It's going to take a huge amount of grace and peace and understanding to work through this time. I've never been here, so it's all trial and error. Hopefully a lot of grace is abounding. But it's very difficult. Also, there were churches that had already started in-person services. They had gone drive-in services only for a long time. And then they decided to start going in-person services. And they've had to close back up and go back to either outdoor or strictly online. I learned of one just a while ago that it had happened. They've been doing two services in person, and because of COVID exposure by some of their people, they had to close down for the next 2 weeks and go back to online. So a lot happening, a lot of struggles. So anyway, it's exhausting. It can be real exhausting. So just try to hang in there and hang tough. Every time I say you need to tough it up, I think of Heather. She was giving birth. I don't know whether it was Chase or Sydney, but she was in a lot of pain. And I had to be near the delivery room or whatever. I think I was in there at the time. And she was letting that one kind of scream. And I made the mistake of saying, you need to tough it up a little bit or something like that. I was a little too close to Grandma. So there's still an ache back here once in a while, okay? No. All right, Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Let's read what Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Now I'm reading out the New International Version, the 1984 rendition. All right, who's Paul writing to? I've already said to the church at Philippi. If you look at chapter 1, verse 1, it says there, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. To all the saints. Now, I know that when some of you look at me, I'm pretty sure the word saint doesn't often come to your mind. Okay? Last thing you think of, Ron's a saint. Now, we use it in a certain way, that way. But saints comes from the Greek word hagios, which means holy ones, basically. Set apart ones. So Paul's writing to the church at Philippi, and he decides, he's addressed different churches in different ways, but here he decided to address to all the saints in Christ Jesus. I don't know why he chose that term exactly, but if you read the whole book of Philippians, you can tell it. There's an emphasis on love and unity. Love and unity. There seems to be, I don't know for sure, but it appears that in that church, they had trouble a little bit with loving each other like they should and being unified like they should. They're praised in many ways, but they seem to struggle. So Paul emphasizes need a lot of love, you need a lot of unity. And to maybe, instead of identifying people differently, like brothers or something like that, he wanted to point out that you are holy ones, that you are set apart ones for God. So he addresses this letter to the saints at Philippi there. Now, as I read this verse here, read these verses here, we're talking about reaching for something, attaining something. The NIV even puts over the top, on the top of the heading there, pressing on toward the goal. Anybody here ever dreamed big? You know, and maybe it didn't work out, but you dreamed big. Anybody ever been told, reach for the stars? You know, you got the potential. Reach for the stars. What are they trying to tell you to do? Go for it, right? Think beyond yourself. Don't settle. Go for it. Find something that you want to shoot for and put your effort into it. So here Paul is going to talk about the need to kind of reach for a goal, to press on toward a goal, to not quit, not let circumstances in life beat you down. So don't let people talking about you in the church. Don't let people talking about in the neighborhood. Don't let somebody firing you from a job. Don't let some economic hardship. Don't let your health crisis. Don't let any of that stuff keep you from trying to be the best Christian that you can be. Press toward the goal. Let's look at verse 12 here again. In the NIV, it says, "Not that I have already attained all this." Well, if you're just picking up like we did here reading this verse, what is all this? Not that I've already attained all this. Well, what is it? Well, let's go back up to verse 7 and following. Paul wrote, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ." Now, Paul was saying that, at one time, I could do certain things in my career. I had certain things in my life. Certain things that were important. I had the credentials. I had the recommendations. I had all the things that you want, basically, that a young Jewish man could want in that particular culture at that time. He said, "I'm reaching for it. I'm going for it." That's what I was going. But he said, "I've decided that everything that I thought was important at one time, I consider it to be trash compared to knowing Christ. I just want to know Jesus." That's what he basically comes down to. He continues on here in verse 9. "And being found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own which comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." Notice verse 10 and 11 here. "I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead." And then verse 12, "Now, not that I've already obtained all this." Now, I've always found it interesting that Paul writes something like this, and he is what in Christ Jesus? And your mind might come to different things. I've always been astounded that this is an apostle of Christ. God has revealed certain things to him so that he can reveal them to us. He was on the road to Damascus and got to encounter the Lord Jesus. It appears that he had some private time later with Jesus and was taught certain things. Remember what he says in 1 Corinthians? "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you." It appears that he was taught, just like the other disciples had been taught certain things, he also had some private learning time with the resurrected Lord. Now, he's also the one that will write later, it appears that when he was left for dead, they stoned him there outside of Lystra, he was left for dead, he writes in one of the letters later that, "I knew a man who went to the third heaven and he saw things, inexpressible things that he's not allowed to talk about." He never identifies that as himself, but that I believe that, and I'm not alone in this, I think a lot of people believe, that was Paul there outside of Lystra, left for dead. He may have actually had his spirit depart from his body for a few moments and been able to see things, but he can't write about it. Now, I'm emphasizing all this to tell you, this man who has seen and experienced all these wonderful, fantastic things, this man who does that says, Hey, I haven't reached the goal yet. I haven't attained it yet. I know I want this stuff, but I haven't got there yet. And again, go back to verse 10. I want to know Christ. He already knows Christ in a certain way. What is he saying? I want to really, really know Christ. I really want to know. Those of us who have been married for a long time, you know that there was that infatuation period. The two of you had really fallen in that puppy-type love that deepened into a I got to have you for the rest of my life-type love. But you still didn't really know all the quirks about each other. And then when you got married, you began to learn and experience more. And you know far more about your mate today than you did at that one time. I jokingly tell couples that I'm counseling with that you need to make sure you see her without her makeup on. You know, just make sure you see her without her makeup on one time, just so you know that's the product you want. You know, make sure. But also, more importantly than that, it's not the makeup, is it? It's who that person is. Because I also seriously tell couples when I'm counseling with them, is she pretty? I haven't had a man yet say no. And I say, is he handsome? And I haven't had a woman say yet no. I said, now I want you to think about something. You two say you want to be together for the rest of your life, that you love each other dearly, and that you just want to be, no matter what happens, right? I said, so let's say on the way home from this counseling session, you have a car accident, one of you goes through the windshield, and your face is ruined for the rest of your life. Do you still want this person to be your mate for life? Or is it a looks thing? And you understand where I'm going with this. If for some reason they all lost their sight, would they still want this person? We need to know Christ, to deepen and deepen and deepen. And here's an apostle telling us, I want to have all of this. I want to extend it even more. I really want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. I want to become like him in his death and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Here's a man who's been in Christ for a while, who the Holy Spirit has revealed things to, who has seen things, and he says, I want all of this at an even deeper level. Now, I've emphasized this word want. Look at verse 12 again, the latter part. Not that I've already attained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I press on. Those of you that have ever run a race, you've seen the finish line, and a lot of times you'll see the runner as they're coming to the finish line. What do? They lean forward to finish the race, to try to still beat their time or beat that person ahead of them. Sometimes it's a tight race and they got to do that. Haley was running a track for the middle school, and we're over to Currituck, and she's on the, I think it was a relay team, and she's on the fourth leg of the relay team. And as they were not going to be the first place team, but the battle was for second or third. And when she got the baton, she was a little bit behind. And she just began to try her best. And you could see, as they got closer and closer to the finish line, she was pressing harder than the person was in front of her. And the harder she pressed, the more the ground she made up. And right at the end, just as they got within the last few yards, she edged ahead. And it was too late for the other person to kick another gear in, even though people had been hollering. Maybe she had already given all she could. But Haley edged ahead and won. Oh, you'd have thought she'd won the Olympics the way everybody was all over the place. But it wouldn't happen if she had done what? Quit. Gave up. She pressed on. We need to have that attitude. And Paul says here in verse 12, I press on to take hold of that which for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I'm reaching for it. I'm doing everything I can to get there. I want it. If you want something, it's hard to stop somebody, isn't it? It's hard to stop you. There's nothing like telling a little kid that they can't play with that toy in the floor. And if they want it, what will they do? They will not be. Then they learn to cry sometimes to get their way, because to shut them up, we'll give them the toy. We have to kind of not be trained by them. We're supposed to train them, right? So we understand. Press on, but you got to want it. You really got to want it. Anybody here ever have a weight loss goal? Yeah. Somebody, I might want to weigh 200 pounds again. How can you tell if I really want it? You'll be trying to do it. Can you tell I haven't wanted it that much yet? Right? There's nothing wrong with being any size. It's just sometimes if you have this want, you're going to make the effort to do it. So verse 12 emphasizes, I press on. Now look at verse 13 and 14. If you want something, and John, you just mentioned it, you got to really want it. You got to put in the effort, right? You got to put in the effort to do it. I've had a dream about playing the guitar for years. Guess what? It remains a dream, okay? I even thought about playing the violin one time, just for the fun of it, figuring out how to do that. It still remains a dream. I'm not dead yet, so one of these days it may happen. But right now, I don't want it bad enough, and I'm not putting in the effort. So we got to learn to put in the effort. Verses 13 and 14 says here, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to really have taken hold of it. Now again, this is an apostle. I don't really feel like I've done my part yet. He says, but one thing I do, I'm going to forget my failures. I'm going to forget my struggles. I'm going to forget everything I gave up, and I'm going to forget what is behind. And what am I going to do? I'm going to strain toward what is ahead. I am going to put forth the effort. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which Christ Jesus has called me heavenward. God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You got to want it, and you got to put in the effort to do it. I was at an officer candidate school, and I was trying to become a second lieutenant. I was 19 years old, and I was the youngest guy in the class. I looked like I was 14. You know, they came at us with everything they could that first night. We were on a 15-day initial training session. In that 15 days, they began to berate us and work on us. They had senior candidates all over the place. There was 22 of them, one of the largest classes that had graduated in a long time. So they had 22 senior candidates and 3 TAC officers. And they're on your case all the time. 46 of us showed up that Friday night to go through the training. I'm 19. I'm the least experienced and certainly the youngest. But they made me mad. The more they yelled at me, the more it made me mad. And I determined I wasn't quitting. But they were push-upping us to death. I mean, I was doing push-ups all the time. So about the second day in, I decided when everybody else went to bed, I was going to go down to the shower area and I was just going to do me another set of push-ups 2 or 3 times. I was going to get stronger and stronger with it so that when they get you eye to eye on the ground and looking at you while you're trying to do push-up, that I'm almost laughing at them in my mind. I'm putting in the effort to do it. Of the 46 of us that showed up on that Friday night, there were only 15 of us that completed the time. They didn't want it. I was too dumb to quit, too stupid to quit, too mad to quit. I was going for it, and I went for it. I wish I had the same attitude about everything about Christ Jesus. I wish I would put in that same type of effort, that same type of drive. He says here, Paul says, I'm going to forget my failures. I'm going to forget my mistakes. I'm going to forget everything I thought was important, and I'm going to strain toward what is ahead, toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. I use a lot of military things once in a while for examples. We were up at Delaware City in Delaware there, and we were having to run our 2-mile run, and I can still picture Lieutenant Colonel Robert George. He was, at the time, he was a major, but he was calling. One of the officers was trying to finish. The officer was slightly overweight. It was hard on him, and he was getting down to the final seconds. If he did not cross the line, and had to do 2 miles in 18 minutes and 50 seconds, something like that. If he didn't cross that line just in time, then he would flunk, and it might cost him having to be kicked out. And I can still remember Colonel George yelling and screaming that officer's name. Come on! And he would just say his name over and over again. And you could see the encouragement from someone. You could just see him straining and stressing. And he crossed that finish line with 5 or 6 seconds to spare. It wasn't right at the 1 second, but 5 or 6 seconds is not much either. He crossed that line with 5 or 6 seconds to spare. Talking to him later, he said, man, I wish I'd have known I had another 5 or 6 seconds. No, he didn't. He put everything he got into him. When in our walk with Jesus, do you feel like you're straining toward the finish line? Do you feel like you're trying to become what God wants you to be? Husbands, how are you supposed to love your wives? As Christ loved the church, ask myself, does Carol see me loving her? Does she see me loving her as Christ loved the church? My children, I'm supposed to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Did they see me caring about their salvation? Did they see me caring about their spiritual growth? Did they see me doing that? Friends, I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. Do they notice that about me? And we can go down the list, can't we? But you understand what I'm saying? Are you straining at every part to be the type of person you can be? Children, kids, teenagers, you're supposed to honor your father and mother. Can those of you that are Christians, can they see you conveying yourself in such a way that everybody knows you honor your father and mother and obey them when you're in the home? So these are the things we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to put in the effort. And then finally, verse 15, it says here, all of us who are mature is the way I like to say it. Mature is the way some other people say it. I don't know what the legal correct pronunciation is, but since I'm right, it's mature. All of us who are mature should take such view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too, God will make clear to you. But make sure that you're growing, that you're maturing at this, that you develop the Christ-like attitude. Paul says, look, I didn't have this right at first, but the more and more I put into it, the more and more I'm taking on the mindset of Christ. And he closes with this last verse in verse 16. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. What should be your characteristic? Are you a quitter? If I use the term, are you a half-stepper? Some of you don't know what I mean. In the military, you know, you took a whole step. When you forward march, take a whole step. If they gave you the command, half-step march, then you only took a half-step. Now, which takes longer to get you where you're going? So, if you're marching to some place you want to go and you want to get it over with, the half-step is much more rigorous. It takes a lot more out of you. So we don't want to be half-stepping when it comes to Christianity. We want to take that whole step. We want to march forward. So he says here in verse 16, let us live up to what we have. Let's not be showing a half-step attitude. Let's step forward and get it done. Full step for God every day. Let people see that you love Jesus Christ every day, more and more every day. Let them see that, please. All right, Paul writing to the church of Philippi, he tells them, settle for nothing less than trying to do your best for Jesus Christ. Don't settle for anything less. Step out there and do what God wants you to do. He tells the saints, the hagias, the holy ones, he tells them, be what God has called you to be. Press on toward the goal. Now, in order to truly help our Lord make disciples, you need to become a disciple. I've tried to tell you the way I see the scriptures unfolding, and I freely admit to you, I could bring ministers in here from other denominations, I could bring them in here from different groups, and they would probably teach you a little different than I'm going to say it right now. And that will be debated until the Lord returns. All I can tell you is what I understand the scriptures to say, and that is you need to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins and submit, being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We will immerse you in water. You'll be buried with Jesus. You'll be raised with Jesus. The old person of sin will have died. The new person in Christ will be raised. Make that decision if you need to. But don't come and stop there. Make sure you're committed to making Him Lord of your life and following Him the rest of the days of your life. Make that decision. If you're already an immersed believer, many of us are, and sin has weighed us down and grabbed a hold of us again, then repent of it. God, I am sorry. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm sorry. Repent of it. And tell Him and ask Him for forgiveness. If you need our prayer support, come. We'll pray with you about the matter. If you're an immersed believer, but you haven't joined the fellowship here, say, hey, I come as one who believes in Jesus, and as a believer, I was immersed into Jesus. As a believer, I am now ready to say, this is the church where I want to serve. I want to be a part of this fellowship. Just consider that. Place your fellowship. That way the elders here know who they are to shepherd without any question. And for the rest of us, in light of what God has revealed to us through the Word, let's make disciples. Let's make disciples for the Master.